What's up, guys? It's Liam here. Before we get on with our usual NXT roundtable shenanigans, I just thought I'd let you know that today's episode is an NXT TakeOver 30 predictions and preview episode. And to celebrate the severity and importance of NXT TakeOver 30, we've reached out to other wrestling content creators and influencers within sort of our bubble. And throughout this episode, it'll be intercut with their predictions and their hopes and wishes for NXT TakeOver 30. A massive thank you to everyone who's helped contribute to this episode. These guys weren't paid, or, you know, they got nothing in return for their time and hard work. And it's helped make this podcast something a little bit special. So thank you to that. Everyone's Twitter and anything they plugged within it, it will be in the description of this episode, so make sure to check them out and show them some love, because it would not be possible without them. Now I'm going to throw it back over to Corey Taylor and Travis. Here's the intro. Hello and welcome back to the Developmental Podcast, and welcome back to the NXT Roundtable, the weekly show where we sit down and discuss this week's news in professional wrestling, as well as sit and discuss another week of NXT. A completely original and unique format, not similar to every other wrestling not podcast. As usual, I am joined by Innes McVeigh. Innes, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing okay. You may notice that it is just me and Liam, because we are down another host. Two hosts down, one to go. My path to eventually hosting this podcast is going well.
Yes, you would usually be introduced by Michael Farah and his dulcet Australian voices, but unfortunately, he has contracted gonorrhea, and we can't take any risks of Discord transmitted diseases. Mm. So he's not going to be here today. So instead, you have a fully fit Innes McVeigh and a Liam Stewart, who has just finished an 8-hour overnight shift and has slept for 25 minutes. I know which one I still think's more valuable. Today is, as you may have heard by the pre-intro that played before the lovely Corey Taylor, today is the NXT TakeOver 30 special. So in between myself and Nissa's discussions about the news, this week's NXT and our predictions, you will also be hearing the voices of some lovely, generous contributors. These will be sort of their predictions for NXT TakeOver 30 and what to expect, so thank you to all of those involved. Pretty sure in the pre-intro I made sure to tell you to go and check all of them out, because they're doing it out of their own generosity, but in case I didn't, I'm saying it now. You'll also notice in that pre-intro that I sounded much less tired, because I did that before sleeping. So the first part of the NXT roundtable is, as always, to say something very offensive to get a clickable title.
Of course, it's a standard now over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and usually, you know, Michael would do it, surprisingly. and it would be some sort of context relating to an outdated sort of offensive thing. So we've had the McCanns. Mm-hmm. Had terrorism. Mm-hmm. What did we have
as well? What else is offensive? Could offend the right wing. We haven't hit them in a little while.
I know, but it's got to be something outdated offensive.
True.
Whoever loses the hair versus hair match at SummerSlam is going to look like Jade Goody. Therefore, Jade Goody is wrestling at SummerSlam. There's the title. There you are. See,
no that, doubt we'll come up with something process. Even worse throughout the course of this podcast. But you know, it's there if we need it.
Exactly. Right, so let's open things up with the news in wrestling. It's been a quiet week despite feeling like a busy week. There's been some big stories and then not a lot in between.
Yeah.
But we do have 4/5 actual points of discussion and then one that is interesting exclusively to us. So we've talked a little bit about later on we'll talk about who will steal the show at TakeOver and who will steal the show at SummerSlam. But first let's talk about who's stealing professional wrestlers. And the answer is creepy men. Because Sonya Deville was kidnapped in her house?
Attempted. So essentially what happened was a crazy fan found out where she lived, got into her front garden. She saw him. She and Mandy Rose were in the house.
But they hate each other, Ennis. Why were they in the same house together?
I'm sorry, I have to ruin kayfabe for this story. They were in the house together. Sonya and Mandy managed to get out because the guy thought she'd ran upstairs. And then they called the police and they got him. So it's a bit fucked up because there was a pre-trial testimony yesterday where the guy admitted that he was gonna hog tie her and keep her kidnapped in her house until he answered all her questions and stuff. And he'd Instagram DM'd her saying
who's the Undertaker?
He Instagram DM'd her going I'm gonna kill your niece and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a bit fucked.
White people are scary. All I'm saying, right, is, I am a business graduate, and all I'm saying is, if I'm ring security, I am hitting Sonya up, and I'm like, listen, we'll kick you out. Plug our product, never happen again. Weird guy at your front door, boom, message on your mobile phone. Sonya Deville should have had ring security. She's a wrestler, she should know all about rings.
Terrible.
I was gonna go. She's a lesbian. She'd know all about rings, but Michael's not. We can get away with that when Michael's there. We can be like, no, it's fine. It's not two straight guys. We've got Michael.
We don't have that now.
We've just got your questionable voice. But yes, obviously this is horrible and disturbing, and the fan has rightfully been arrested, and I think will probably go to prison.
He's being charged today. I think he is going to prison. But I can't remember how long for.
Or he will plead insanity, which, based off what I've read, is probably accurate.
based on his Twitter account, he is, because literally his Twitter account is just full of Sonya Deville retweets. That was it.
Yeah, Stan Twitter's fucking weird. Don't be a Stan account. It's fucking predatory and creepy. You can be or anonymous Stan accounts more. Mm. I saw a tweet that's this isn't a Stan culture problem, this is a male culture problem. And I was like, suck your mum. there is obviously an issue of how men treat women, and this is part of it.
Mm.
But also it's just part of this weird anonymous Stan culture where it's like, yeah, all I do is tweet about this one person all day because I love them, ooh woo.
The term Stan comes from a song that explicitly says don't do this is weird, and then they took it and made it a thing.
Does Stan not mean something related to a stalker fan, right?
Yeah, some acronym from a song.
Yeah,
I don't know the song, this is just I've heard of
Stan origin. Oh, it's Eminem, of course.
Oh, is it? Alright, okay.
Probably with allusion to the 2000 song Stan by American rapper Eminem and about an obsessed fan. Fucking, that's the only thing Eminem's contributed, really. other than child support. But from one woman being forced to stay somewhere to one woman who is leaving somewhere, Renee Young
leaving WWE. I seem to be the only one that thinks that doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, she's really good, though. She's really good.
She is a really good interviewer.
Oh, no, but she does good stuff on backstage and talking smack when that was a thing and other things.
Yeah, like, Renee Young is, one, incredibly likable. Mm. Like, and I think she is a very good interviewer. I just happen to place about as much value to a company and an interviewer as, like, a hot dog in a balanced diet. Mm. Like, if she is remaining in wrestling, the value that she can apply to another promotion is mainly a name value at this point.
True.
And if she's going to the logical wrestling promotion where, you know, her husband
What would that promotion be, Liam? I don't know.
That would be MLW, no. That would be AEW. Mm. But unfortunately for Renee, she has breasticles. And AEW hate breasticles. So they wouldn't use her. I put a tweet out today. AEW didn't run this week and yet somehow has still showed as many women as they did last week. So,
oh, that's funny because it's true.
Oh, but they have a YouTube series. But
like, even on Dark and stuff like that, they don't get much women. But anyway.
Like, it's a loss for WWE, but it's a sensible one for Renee. And honestly, if I was Renee, I just would get out of wrestling. She was an actual sports broadcaster, I think, before this, right?
Yeah, I think she did bits and pieces, but she did mainly do wrestling stuff. Because I think her last big gig before WWE was covering NXT for some web company or online media company. I can't remember exactly, but I do remember she did do like proper wrestling stuff before WWE.
The Score Television Network.
That's it.
Okay, yeah, so she seems to have only done wrestling stuff.
Yeah, I would be surprised if she left wrestling. I don't think she will. But because she is that good at it. I think part of this probably comes from the shit show that was backstage, because Fox have now canned it. As much as it was good in parts, nobody really watched it.
Well, the thing is, who wants to watch a podcast about a company run by the company? And this message goes out to AEW, Progress, Riptide, all of the companies that do this. I don't want your biased propaganda.
I feel like it's okay if you're not covering the week-to-week shows. Like, Corey Graves' podcast is okay.
But that's not about... that's not a WWE
That's more
product.
Of a... That's like a non-kayfabe thing. Yeah. It's licensed by WWE, but it's not focusing on...
He sell it to them?
Yeah, it's actual WWE property. It's not...
Because, I mean, to be fair, I can't think of anything worse than listening to Corey Graves talk.
oh, that's harsh.
I heard one extract from it, and I was like, oh my god, I legit want to shoot up a school. but from one person who has left the WWE, or one person who is leaving the WWE, to one person who has left, Mike Bennett released a teaser video. He put a tweet out saying, in 9 hours' time, I will put a video up about my future and what I've decided to do in wrestling. And then he put up a 2-minute video in which he did nothing.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen this, so I don't know.
He took off his mask, his COVID mask.
Right.
He looked to the camera, he looked sad, he looked effective, and then he put the mask on and walked away.
Oh. Okay.
Did numbers on Twitter.
Sure.
So good for him.
Sure, I guess.
I mean, he's going to ROH.
I don't know if he is.
ROH is resuming taping soon.
True, but ROH is not the same ROH it was when he left.
Well, I guess we can tie this into another piece of the news. ROH has, according to Mike Johnson, made quite a big signing to make their first appearance on ROH programming when the content airs that's being filmed currently.
Okay.
And that's none other than EC3.
Oh, shit. No.
Yeah.
What, with them? Oh, that's quite... Oh, if they do it in line with Impact, that'll be good.
I mean, I think at this point, Impact are just happy to let their talent work wherever.
Anywhere.
Obviously.
Yeah, true, actually. That's very fair.
because the Good Brothers will be working NXT, New Japan once they can travel.
Could you imagine if they just turned up in NXT?
Hi guys! You missus. Do they have, well they had Joe Hendry who was doing ROH at the same time as Impact.
He still is, and he does ICW and Discovery and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they don't
I mean, let's be ICW kind of does, as much as we don't like it, it counts.
ICW was better at date raping women than it was at putting on wrestling shows.
Oh, God. That's a better comment than the Jade Cooper one.
That's still one of the fucking most mental things to come out of that whole thing. Just casual date rape culture, you know?
Yeah, but it's ICW, so no one
cares. Glasgow! it sounds bad. I don't care about Mike Bennett.
If you're saying it sounds bad, this is probably going to be a horrific comment. It sounds bad,
I don't care about date rape. No, I just don't care about Mike Bennett.
Mm.
It's the same as, like, Brian Myers has obviously turned up an Impact or whatever.
Mm.
I don't care. He's not someone I'm interested in.
Yeah, neither of them really did much in WWE. His peak for me was the Kingdom and Ring of Honor, but obviously a good 90% of people won't have seen that. So
yeah,
he obviously had the debut feud with Sammy. I think just after Money in the Bank, and that was fine.
He was just a theme song, though.
He really was, and literally after that feud, he disappeared and did nothing else. So, I mean, good on him if he does stuff and actually makes himself interesting again. Then sure, because he can be good, but
Someone who wants to come into wrestling, however, is a former UFC heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier.
Who has
basically said that it would be a good vacation for him and he would really like to have a Royal Rumble moment. I really like Cormier, mainly because he's had this back and forth series with Jon Jones, and everyone likes Jon Jones because he's cool. And by cool, I mean he run over a pregnant woman, got out his car to run away, got back into the car to get money out of his boot, and then run away.
Mm-hmm.
What a nice guy. He's the guy you should be cheering there. Because he does cool spinny kick.
I mean, this is the same sport that loves Conor McGregor. So let's be honest, the standard isn't very high.
People liked him before he assaulted an old man.
Mm.
And then some of us liked him because he tried to fix the population curve. Would you be interested in Cormier in WWE? I mean, I say WWE because it's not going to be anywhere else.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not that familiar with Cormier. Like, I have a passing interest in UFC. I've seen bits and pieces of his tweets, but I don't think I've seen any.
He is a wrestling UFC fighter amateur wrestling style.
Mm. I'd kind of be worried it turn into another Cain Velasquez, but I feel like...
God.
Because remember, he was signed for like 3 years and then they just cut him from the pandemic. But it could be interesting as like a one-off, but not as like a contract thing.
Yeah, I think it would very much be this will do numbers.
Mm. Even at most a Ronda thing, when he's around for like a couple of months, a year.
Yeah, I think that the main thing is he doesn't have an interest in it as an actual thing. Like, he would be there to make the product better, where you feel Ronda obviously was.
But, yeah, he said himself as a vacation, so.
Shoving him in at, like, number 10 in the Rumble to get a big pop, eliminate a couple of people, have Brock eliminate him, and then him and Brock can do something, because UFC. a bit of news to finish off on that is just because I want to talk about it. Robert Stone.
Oh no, what?
He's bought a gym.
What?
He bought a gym.
Why?
I guess to make money. Robert Stone gym. Give me a second.
Professionalism on this podcast. We definitely researched the news beforehand.
He stars in We Bought a Gym.
Oh.
Is this a TV show? The Robert Stone brand has expanded beyond professional wrestling and into the field of gym ownership. Advertised to be opening in fall, F45 Training is located in Baldwin Park, Florida. I don't know if this means... Dopest Fitness classes. So yeah, right. He's currently bought a property, he's converted into a gym, and I would like to see him document it. And I wanted to tie this into another point, because what I would like is Robert Stone to do a YouTube series of, like, converting the building. One, because I just think that'd be really bingeable and he'd make it entertaining. But I would also like to tie this into a public service announcement. Dear female wrestlers, stop making YouTube channels.
Oh, Jesus.
You aren't interesting. Sincerely, someone who does not masturbate to you.
The views of Liam Stewart do not represent the development of the podcast.
No, they do. They represent the podcast. Natalia should not have a vlogging channel.
She's got her cats, though, and Tyson. I didn't even know she had... I'm going to look this up now. I didn't even know this.
She did a vlog with Lana.
Oh, that sounds hilarious, though. That sounds like he only goes shit. I need to watch this now.
So, at the moment, off the top of my head, including Twitch channels, we have Lana, Paige, Dakota Kai, who die simps for in the Twitch chat.
Of course.
Selena Vega. Both the Iconics have a YouTube channel now. Who else? We got Natalia. Ruby Riott, maybe?
God. I've looked up Natalia's channel and it's I'm 3 seconds into this video and it's the worst edited thing I've ever seen. Jesus Christ.
Well, this is what I've noticed, right? For people with large income jobs and access to highly skilled individuals, there aren't any good quality wrestling YouTube channels.
Yeah.
Like you've got Cassie Tries, which has all the production value.
Took my gimmick, twat.
Has all the production values of filming on an iPhone. you have Lana's, which is, how many times can I do the same TikTok dance? Nobody knows what an editor is. Dakota Kai, who does that classic Twitch thing of, I don't need to play interesting games, I just play...
That's unfair.
She plays beta female games.
No, but she plays... Everyone's played, like, Fall Guys and shit right now.
I'm
she
talking mainly The Last of Us, I'll be honest.
No, but people like The Last of Us. It's just you.
White women like The Last of Us.
And and
it's like... you can tell how much of it is a cash grab because they make no effort to make it good before they start. Selena Vega's is okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch it, but you can tell there's effort and production value there. Her channel with Aleister Black is actually quite enjoyable. A to Z, Aleister to Selena, clever. Paige and her horrible boyfriend have one. I think her horrible boyfriend has over 30,000 subs.
Oh, okay.
If you don't know what Ronnie Radke did, look it up. So he was in a band called Fallen in Reverse.
Right. Oh, I know that. Okay.
Yes. They are meh.
Okay.
he used to be in Escape the Fate, which was pretty good. And then Fallen in Reverse did a dubstep type album mixed with their usual style, and I quite enjoyed it.
Okay.
And then it's kind of got much worse.
Okay.
He met with the name Marcel Colquitt outside of high school when he was 22. And then each man brought additional men to support them fight. With the new reports that it was between 6 and 8 individuals during the fight, a 22-year-old Chase Rader, a man who had accompanied Radke, shot 18-year-old Michael Allen Cook 3 times, killing him as well as wounding another man, Colquitt's brother. Rader was arrested and charged for murder, but they declined to prosecute him despite his confession, as it was self-defense. Radke and Colquitt were criminally charged for their involvement in Cook's death, although Colquitt committed suicide before he could stand trial. On January 2008, Radke pleaded guilty to battery with substantial bodily harm in relation to Cook's death and got 5 years probation.
Lovely.
He got fired from Escape the Fate. He then got done for assault in 2012. He's had defamation lawsuits. He's been done for disturbance of the peace. So it's pretty natural by him and Pedro, I think. you know, talk shit, get bitter. But, you know, if you subscribe to him on Twitch, you are a cunt.
Oh, God.
So, that's all of wrestling news. Only 20 minutes worth.
Turns out when you don't have three people on the podcast, we don't talk for 40 fucking minutes and ramble.
Well, we are about to start talking about SummerSlam first. So.
True. This is true.
Because this weekend is NXT TakeOver 30 on the Saturday, which mm-hmm. we'll get to. And hopefully I left enough time to pause between the us about to go into NXT to go into SummerSlam for the first little voice clip. Don't know when I'm going to shove these in, but I'll shove them in.
Hey, 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 it's your boy KJ, and thank you so much to Liam Stewart, who allowed me to be on this podcast, the developmental podcast, because I'm here to give you my results, who I think are going to be the victors at TakeOver 30. It's a landmark, it's a milestone pay-per-view, and TakeOver 30 is going to be fantastic. But first things first, who am I? Who does this sultry voice belong to? I'm KJ. I'm off the Roped In podcast. I have done the Pot of Thunder as well with Oliver Satien for Inside the Ropes. I wouldn't call myself a podcast connoisseur, but I am a podcast connoisseur. So, I'll do all the plugs at the end, but I'm really excited to watch TakeOver 30, and I want to give my predictions. I'm typically really good at these things, so I thought, why don't we start off with something a bit simple? Dakota Kai versus Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship. The champion Io Shirai is going into this defending against the worthy challenger Dakota Kai, and I think Io Shirai is going to retain her title. She became champion way too soon, or recent memory, let's say, and now she is out there attempting to retain her title, and I don't think that anyone wants to see the title off of her. So I think WWE is going to make the right call and keep Io Shirai as champion, leaving TakeOver 30. We've got one of my favorites of all time, Adam Cole. He's my favorite wrestler of all time was Edge. When Edge retired, I replaced him after a very long time with Adam Cole. Now Edge is back, so it's kind of a bit of a mishmash there. But Adam Cole is facing the former NFL punter, Pat McAfee, who I'm not even sure is a professional wrestler. I don't know how much training he's had. I don't know if he's training to be a full-time wrestler. But this one is very tricky. Adam Cole, Pat McAfee, you've got a celebrity, you've got a professional wrestler who is the longest reigning NXT champion of all time. I gotta go with my boy Adam Cole here. I'm not cutting Pat McAfee out. I'm not. But I have to say, I think Adam Cole gets the win here. Like, imagine looking back at this pay-per-view and saying that Pat McAfee beat the longest reigning NXT champion of all time. And there might be a possible turn for the Undisputed Era to turn on Adam Cole and give Pat McAfee that win. And that's a big moment. So I think Pat McAfee could win if the Undisputed Era perhaps turn on Adam Cole. But otherwise, I have to go with my boy Adam Cole here. We then have the NXT North American Championship, the ladder match. It's Bronson Reed versus Damian Priest versus Cameron Grimes. And as of now, we do not know, is it going to be Johnny Gargano, Ridge Holland, Finn Balor, or Velveteen Dream? I personally think that Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor are going to be in this match, right? And those are going to be the five participants. And I think Finn Balor gets the win here. Again, the same reason, because you're going to look back at this and say, hey, we want this TakeOver 30 to look monumental, and that's why we want a massive superstar to hold the NXT North American Championship. And that, to me, is going to be Finn Balor. Johnny Gargano has held it. Cameron Grimes is up there. Damian Priest is somewhat all right. Bronson Reed, I have no idea how he's even in this match. But I personally think that with the Wednesday Night War raging on, I think Finn Balor is the perfect candidate for WWE or NXT in particular to put the championship on and hold it so that they can perhaps retain more of an audience. And finally, what I'm assuming should be the main event of TakeOver 30, Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. Keith Lee just became champion. Karrion Kross undefeated. The NXT championship is on the line here. Oh boy. This is so, so difficult. As I said, I'm typically very good at this, but this is a very, very difficult card to predict. I'm going to have to go with a bold prediction and say Karrion Kross wins the title here. This is so very difficult. I don't know, because Keith Lee was compromised, the contract exploded in his face, and you never know what that's going to lead to. He's compromised going into this match. He has to be. I mean, there's an episode of NXT left before TakeOver 30, and perhaps they might tell us that, you know, Keith Lee's absolutely fine. As of now, based on the information I know, I think Keith Lee is compromised, and I think that's what Karrion Kross is going to use to his advantage and win the NXT championship. You cannot have Keith Lee in a compromised position going into this match and not faltering, because that just makes Karrion Kross look weak. So I think Karrion Kross is taking the W here and winning the NXT championship. I think this is going to be mental. Absolutely mental. Now, typically, these cards have 5 matches. There are only 4, so I can't imagine what is going to go on the show. I'm very excited. So, yeah, that's my predictions. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Liam, for allowing me to do this. The Developmental Podcast, you guys are awesome. You guys are killing it. The synergy between you guys is so smooth. I absolutely love this podcast. Thank you so much for allowing me to do this. And if you guys would like to listen to me anywhere else, at that KJ Guy across all major social media platforms, Roped In Podcast available on all podcast streaming services. That includes Apple, Spotify, all those good places. Thank you so much, Liam. And that's it for me. Thank you. Like always, KJ out.
I think you did. I think you're good.
I'll do one at the end, one at the middle, one at the start, depending on how many people actually get back to me in time today. But SummerSlam is the Sunday. We don't cover the main roster, so we will have left to say about SummerSlam. Mm. Are you ready? I'm going to run through the card here.
Oh, Christ.
You can give me one word thoughts on each match, gotcha. And then we'll do predictions afterwards. Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville.
Mandy wins because it's the face she needs to win, and Sonya gets a new look.
Sonya loses and shaves her hair because lesbian.
Yeah,
pretty, like, it's just how it's going to work. I'm excited for it, though. Braun Strowman versus The Fiend.
I would have said The Fiend up until they did the double turn thing 2 weeks ago. Now I'm saying Braun, because I'm kind of interested in heel Braun.
Couldn't give a flying fuck to The Fiend.
This is also true.
Bayley versus Asuka.
Asuka, due to something that happened in the Sasha Asuka match.
Okay, I've got Bayley for reasons. Sasha versus Asuka.
Sasha, because it's a standard match and Asuka and Sasha will retain and beat her, and Bayley will probably help Sasha.
Asuka, because Sasha has still never successfully defended a title.
She has. Well, not a singles title. Tag she has.
Not a singles title, yeah. Asuka will beat Sasha, Bayley will win, Sasha will be all angry at Bayley because Bayley should have beaten Asuka in the first place, so Sasha didn't have to defend it against her. They have a match in Mania.
Are you still going for heel Sasha, face Bayley?
Yes.
Oh, let's go the opposite way. I think it's going to be heel Bayley, face Sasha.
Because why would I want to cheer Sasha Banks?
Because she's good.
Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins.
Seth, because I know it's Dominic's debut, but they want to put him in a mask. So having him lose will start a character shift to make him Prince Mysterio.
Dominic Mysterio, because his dad's eye was literally ripped out. Babyfaces get wins at SummerSlam. only match that, one of two matches that is the reason I am, I'm one of four to be fair, the two Asuka matches will be interesting, but the main match that is the reason I will watch this show. Love Big Dom. He took a hell of a whipping. Apollo Crews versus MVP, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin are banned from ringside.
Who fucking cares? Apollo, I guess.
Did they put all the people of colour in one match?
Yes. No, the tag title also has that.
Have they got a Black Panther stable or something going on?
Well, no, Bobby Lashley. MVP's got his own stable. I don't know what it's called, but it's...
Oh, the Hurt something,
that's
right?
It, the Hurt. Yeah, the Hurt Business or something like that.
Genuinely couldn't give a fuck. I swear this match has happened the last six pay-per-views.
It has. Literally the last three.
Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton.
Randy, because correct. As much as I like Drew, Randy's been a lot more interesting.
Randy Orton has been top of his game from what I've seen, and also he's punt-kicking Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels' no-sold out.
Saw that. Oh, God.
Such a dick.
Poor
such
Shawn.
A dick. The Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza.
Genuinely forgot the Street Profits were tag champs, so Andrade and Angel because they've been on TV more.
I'll chop my balls
just,
off.
That's your prediction. There you go. You don't need no answer.
I think Zelina Vega tried to poison one of the Street Profits.
Yes.
And at that point, I stopped giving a fuck. Retribution, Innes. Oh, rip great. Off four names right now that are going to be in Retribution.
Ciampa, Dominik Dijakovic. Fuck. Who else? Tegan Nox. Who else is shit? Jesse Kaimiya. Fuck knows. You can tell I thought of the first two names. Didn't think of the last two.
Dominik Dijakovic, Batista, Brock Lesnar,
no.
And Kamala from the grave.
I'm glad you were there to make my answer look slightly better. Thanks.
Yeah, I thought I'd cover you. I don't think it's Ciampa for reasons.
Okay.
But at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me. I also don't... Basically, Ciampa and Tegan will both get mentioned during my TakeOver 30 predictions.
Okay,
so,
interesting.
Therefore, they can't be in it. If I got to thingamay, Kevin Owens is the leader of Retribution.
Okay.
Thingamay, that's what I want.
Interesting.
Him, Dominik Dijakovic, Pete Dunne, and...
just a piss-off guy.
Prince Devitt. Doing multi-segue.
Just rename him. Don't even call him Finn Balor anymore.
So, it's time for the NXT discussion. We're at half an hour. Nice point. With a little bit added in. Maybe around 40 minutes. So let's take it slow, let's drop it down a gear, let's go into, if you hit me at 20 miles per hour, there's a 50% chance I'll, that's playing us out, that advert's playing us out, fucking, that advert is the most terrifying thing in the world, the fucking
the
child tackle,
that like five people are gonna get,
if you hit me at 10 miles an hour, there's a 90% chance I'll live.
No one else is going to get that reference.
If you hit
just
me
at 50
me. Miles per hour, there's a 50% chance. What always confused me about that advert is, why does how fast the car we're in going make a difference to how likely me stabbing you is going to make you live?
And for today's offensive feature, Liam talks about stabbing a child.
Hello. This is Jad, the unofficial ambassador to the Fundamental Podcast, here with my predictions for NXT XXX. Starting with the pre-show match, I would have to go with Legado del Fantasma to win this. Even though I really want Breezango to be tag team champions at some point, I think it makes more sense for Legado del Fantasma and El Fantasma to end up with all the belts. Maybe setting up to Breezango and Swerve Scott to take those titles off them in a six. In a six-man tag match. Going on to the NXT North American ladder match, I think Bronson Reed and Velveteen Dream are the least likely to win. Dream with his, stuff. And Bronson Reed, this is probably his first ever takeover. I'd be surprised if they put a title on him now. Damian Priest seems like the most... always the bridesmaid, never the bride for the North American title, so I don't think they're going to put the title on him yet. Cameron Grimes would be the most logical option. However, with my fantasy booking hat on, I would like to see Gargano and Candice LeRae end up with both titles. So maybe Gargano can take the title now. But I say the more logical answer would be Cameron Grimes. Going on to the women's title match, the only face challenger that could be for Dakota Kai would be Tegan Nox. Otherwise, Rhea Ripley is involved with somebody else. Shotzi Blackheart is involved with Rhea Ripley, seems like. So I'd say Io Shirai has more options going forward. So I'd say it's way more logical for Io Shirai to win. Going to the Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee match. A lot of people are sleeping on this match as a possible good match. I think it's going to be a sleeper hit. I think it's going to be a really good match, because Pat McAfee seems to understand the ins and outs of wrestling. And Adam Cole is good enough to hold, to carry somebody to the match. I think it's going to be a great match. Hopefully Adam Cole wins. This might lead to a War Games match, because I don't see who else is going to challenge Adam, the Undisputed Era, for a War Games match. So I'm very afraid it's going to lead to a War Games match. And hopefully this will end the feud right here. But who knows? This is WWE after all. The main event with Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross could be and will be an amazing match, mainly because we don't know who's going to win. Like, either of those two can win this match, and it's going to make sense, and it's not going to make sense at the same time. But my gut instinct is saying I want to see Keith Lee versus Brock Lesnar as soon as possible. That's the only reason I'm able to pick between those two, because it really... really could go either way. So that's why I'm going to go for Karrion Kross rather than Keith Lee to win the NXT title. Anyway, thank you for allowing me to give my predictions. If you want to follow me, I'm at GoonerJHH on Twitter and on Instagram. That's GOONERJHH. And always remember to be good people.
It's better than hating on women of color, which seems to be my gimmick.
Yeah, true. Actually, this is a step up. Let's be honest.
It's okay. It's NXT, so there are none. Right. So we kick things off and we go straight into a match. It's the NXT North American Title Ladder Match qualifier, as the All No Heart and All Soul of NXT.
It's either All Heart or No Soul. I think it's All Heart, No Soul. Or it's right. No the... Heart. No, it's All Heart, No Soul, definitely.
Yeah. Mr. Johnny Gargano takes on the Yorkshire native Ridge Holland, who really likes PG tips and Yorkshire tea. basically, classic big guy, little guy dynamic, but with that little bit of spice. of Johnny Gargano being the overconfident one, because Ridge Holland shouldn't even be here, as he says. And we get some back and forth, some nice suicide dives where Holland catches him and, you know, makes counters and things like that. We get to see a lot of what Holland can do, and then we can see a lot of what Holland can't do. About halfway through the match, he goes to do a scoop slam on Gargano and pile drives him.
Yeah, horrible.
And commentary sells it and rolls with it, because obviously pre-recorded. But it looked like a stinger. Mm-hmm. It looked like Johnny Gargano got even shorter.
looking back on it, I think he landed mostly on his shoulder, but he did land partly on the head, and it was bad.
I should point out Candice LeRae had a lovely matching jacket. I stan that couple. if they ever want to become a thruple or have a threesome, I will happily get involved.
You know, just in case that ever comes up as an opportunity, you never know.
Listen, all I'm saying is they're big listeners. Big listeners. Candice LeRae provides a distraction and a low bro. low blow to the former rugby player, and then Gargano picks up the victory with a one final beat. What did you think of this match, Innes, and what have you thought of the booking of Ridge Holland thus far?
It was a really good match. Like, Holland needed somebody kind of smaller to make him look that bit better, and Gargano's the perfect guy to do it. The drop on the head was terrifying, but it seemed like he was okay. And I'm glad Gargano got in, because as much as this match is like focusing on the new talent, it needed someone who's been established long-term, and Gargano's probably the best example of that. In terms of, like, Holland over the last couple of weeks, he's been fine, I guess. Like, they're kind of, like, obviously he got beat by Gargano, but that's Gargano. He's literally, I'd say, the top guy in NXT, if not one of.
18 out of 30 takeovers, they tell us he's during this commentary that he's been a part of.
Yeah. And because he didn't get pinned in the match. That was the one.
Holland, no. That's why he's in it.
Yeah. Was that
Thatcher?
Thatcher won.
Thatcher won, I think.
Right, okay. Yeah, so.
No. No.
Because I think it was last week. No, because last week was Kushida and Cameron Grimes.
Rich Holland was 3 weeks ago now.
I think it was. It must have been a Thatcher match then.
According to Cage Match, it was Damian Priest, Oney Lorcan, and Rich Holland.
Ah, that was it. Yeah. So he's been against fairly top guys, but I assume they're still keeping him kind of looking strong.
Don't imply that Damian Priest and Oney Lorcan are top guys.
Oh, Damian Priest kind of is. Oney Lorcan maybe
The last match he had before that was a march against Volter.
So, you know, big step up for thingy, because, you know, NXT, up from NXT UK is a big step up.
He wrestled at the Thunderdome show.
Did he?
Against Mansoor.
Oh.
He lost.
I mean, it's a Saudi show, of course he fucking did.
Is that what the Thunderdome show is?
Is it? I assumed you were talking about
WWE Thunderdome show, 20th of the 8th, so yesterday.
Maybe it's SmackDown?
Pre-show to SmackDown, because Jake Atlas defeated Tahuti Miles, Casey Smith and Caden Carter defeated Indy Hartwell and Jesse Kamiya, Mansoor defeated Ridge Holland. So I assume they're using NXT guys to do like a little
preview thing. You know what they'll have done? Remember the pictures came out from the Thunderdome yesterday?
Yes.
With like Saturn and all that. They'll have been using that to test it out before SmackDown tonight.
Yes, must be.
Because SmackDown's live.
Oh, is it live now?
I think so, because it's from the Armory Centre, and they're doing the
yeah, good point.
The live people. So I assume unless they pre-record it, but you just get out.
The live people look strange but cool.
I figured out the reason it looks weird is because in black NBA spaces. And that they have everyone use a set Zoom background, whereas in WWE they just don't. So they all look mixed. And also, it wasn't fully filled out in the pictures, so that's why. I'm hoping for SummerSlam they give him an actual.
They couldn't even sell out a fucking free fucking video call. I wonder if like the deal is if you sign up for it, you have to do the full 2 hours. Like, can I just go for a piss, or do I have to stay in front of my
and watch? I don't think it's even audio. I think it's just piped in audio. It's for NBA.
It's just but yeah, which is safe, you know.
Yeah, true. So no one just shouts offensive stuff, you know, like
A-Dub, 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 oi.
But yeah, Hall and Gargano was good. Off that massive tangent.
We move on from one clash of styles to, you know,
something.
Jesse Kaimiya.
Oh,
I was
going
to say to... is she from...
I think she's from New York. If I remember.
What a boring person if she is. Jesse Kaimiya is from Austin, Texas.
Hey, another.
So she's racist. Good to know. she's taken on Dice Queen, Dakota Kai, and the match is back and forth. Nothing happens. The match is. Not what this segment was about.
Yeah, true.
It
was a very standard match to get Dakota a win. I did like how they showed that she can beat people. She, like, despite the whole, like, I don't need anybody and I'm a chicken shit, she still can actually beat people.
She can beat the shit people.
To be fair, beating Jesse Kaimiya is not really a high standard.
And then she does a promo afterward of, I'm in your head, Io, and you're stuck on my past, and I'm focusing on my future. We'll come back to that with my predictions later. Mm-hmm. And then she says, oh, yeah, I can do this on my own.
I thought that was you doing an Io accent.
No, you can get away with doing a Kiwi accent. Mm. Can't get away. Have you seen the video that's called, like, oh, it popped up on my timeline. It's like the... It's a song about getting along and multiculturalism.
No.
And it's... Oh, what's it? Racist.
This makes a really good podcast content. The world just song video. China.
Oh, come on. What's it called? It popped up on TikTok.
Racist. So why is Liam looks song. At this video?
Basically, it's a song about, like, oh, we can do everything together, the world, multiculturalism.
Right.
And it goes through different countries, and mm-hmm. it starts in America, and then it goes to China, mm-hmm. and it's Chinese people singing, but they've got the little rice hat on and buck teeth, and they literally... I'm not going to do it in an accent because it's racist, but the words they say are ching-a-ling-a-ling.
Jesus.
Great. I don't know how we got onto that, but anyway. Basically, Dakota Kai does a promo where she's like, I don't need anyone. And then her and Io are brawling, and as Io gets the advantage, our heart and soul here at the podcast, Big Raquel, Big Rack, racks on racks on racks on racks, comes out with a big boot.
She's not been kidnapped, Dakota gets control. She's not been Madeline McCann'd.
Or Sonya Deville.
True.
But yes, her COVID is clearly cleaned up, mm-hmm. and she is here, which is great. I love the fucking lovely, lovely heel stuff. Yeah, I don't need anyone. Wink. I'm very excited for that match. It should be very good. And I thought this was a good segment to continue to build that without having too much interaction from Io and Dakota.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been a lot of face-to-face interaction in this feud.
Yeah, and Raquel coming back makes Dakota a hell of a lot interesting. Because as much as heel Dakota are on is good, Raquel is a lot of her personality. Yeah, Raquel is that piece that makes it whole. And I think the match on Saturday with Raquel in it is going to be a lot more interesting.
Hey everybody, hey boys and girls, it is Kenny McIntosh here, and I am here because the lads here at the Developmental Podcast, I mean, they really helped me keep Inside the Ropes going because they were so, you know, loyal and listened and spread the good word. So I wanted to come on Developmental Podcast at least one time. I mean, I'll come on properly at some point, but I wanted to just kind of say hi and say congratulations to the lads for getting it together, you know. They're all mental. They've come to my house, though. They've come to my house and watched the Royal Rumble, so you know they're not psychopaths, because you would not invite psychopaths to your house. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about who you should and shouldn't answer the door to. Instead, what I'm here to talk to you about is TakeOver 30, because obviously the lads, they're going to predict what they think is going to happen at TakeOver 30, and I thought I'd just wade in with my predictions, if you don't mind. The card's looking pretty good right now. So I'm just going to run through who I think is going to win the matches. Finn Balor and Timothy Thatcher. I think Timothy Thatcher is going to win this one. And Balor is going to be kind of, I don't know, where does he go in NXT? Wonderless. So we'll see what happens to him next. But I think Thatcher's getting the win here. We've got the pre-show, Breezango, Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, and Legado del Fantasma have got a triple threat match to see who faces Imperium. I think Big Joaquin and Raul are going to be the ones to do it. Phantasma's mob are going to get the win, and they're going to go on to face Imperium. We've got the ladder match for the NXT North American title with Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano, Cameron Grimes, Damian Priest, and Bronson Reed. And if I'm thinking in WWE's mindset, who do they like the most? I think that they're going to have Damian Priest win this match. Is that what I want? No. I don't like Damian Priest. I have never really... Well, no, that's not fair. He's fine, but he's just not for me. Who do I want to win? I would love it if Big Bronson Reed won. That'd be fun. But I think it's going to be Damian Priest. And then as well on the card, we have Io Shirai defending against Dakota Kai. I think Io will edge it here, but I think Big Raquel will attempt to interfere at any opportunity. Then we've got my match of the night that I'm looking forward to, which is Pat McAfee against Adam Cole. I think Pat McAfee's going to win here. And I think this is going to lead into more story with the Undisputed Era and Pat the Prick McAfee. Main event is Keith Lee versus Karrion Cross for the NXT Championship. Who do I think is going to win? Well, there was an apparent leaked photo of Karrion Kross with the NXT Championship. So I think, based on that being out there, that was like a ruse. And I think Keith Lee is retaining the title. To get people back on side after Pat McAfee defeated their saviour of independent wrestling, which was Adam Cole. Anyway, that's it for me. I just wanted to give you my predictions. That's what I think. That's who I think is going to win. That's what I think is going to happen. And I hope you guys enjoy TakeOver and enjoy SummerSlam weekend.
Up next, we have four men banging against each other. Sorry, that's just what Michael asked me to say here. Legado del Fantasma take on Breezango and Isaiah Swerve Scott. And the match just quickly turns into a bit of a brawl. Breezango, no fancy intro here. They're here for business. They're here to get shit done. The faces are standing over. Legado, they've gained control. Santos Escobar distracted Fandango to set up Jackie and Wild to trip him off the top rope. Heels keep targeting the injured arm of Fandango. Swerve gets the hot tag, goes off on one on Santos Escobar, Tyler Breeze accidentally tags in after a collision with Swerve, which stops Scott being able to pin Escobar, and then Press Pretty gets hit with a Phantom Driver for the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Breezango fucked it in the story here. The match itself was really good and like very good storytelling, very enjoyable, lots of like nice moments. But I am all for the destruction of Breezango.
See, I don't know if they're implying that. I think they're more so implying that the Escobar and Wild and
too good an oiled unit.
Yeah, whereas Swerve and Breezango are only teamed for the first time. They're also using it as a preview, obviously, for Escobar. Swerve can beat Escobar, and Breezango can beat Wild and Mendoza on their own. So. I think it did its purpose. I think the match itself was fine, but it was more so just a preview to show that the face teams can beat the heels on their own.
Yeah, because we do then get the announcement that we will have, I believe on the pre-show, Jackie Wild and Raul Mendoza versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. They're back teaming.
Mm-hmm.
They're both done with Thatcher and Cross, so good team. Versus Breezango for the number one contendership to the tag titles. Remember those?
I don't.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. But we still have no confirmation that anything's happening with the Cruiserweight title.
Nope.
I think they're keeping that
on TV.
Yeah, it seems like that'll be probably the main event of the post-takeover show.
I would imagine so. Because the takeover card is too stacked for it.
Yeah, especially with some matches that get added later on.
Mm-hmm.
But up next is our sort of main event segment of the night. We've got two more matches after it, but this is the last sort of full segment. And it's Adam Cole and Pat McAfee having a taunt-off. Pat comes out with some NFL people.
Yeah.
15 years of combined NFL experience, basically to counter the Undisputed Era's numbers advantage, because, as he says, he knows Adam Cole better than Adam Cole does. They both agreed to leave their, inverted commas, boys out the ring, and then they have a little promo off, it was good. Pat McAfee is a really good talker and a really good heel.
I was surprised how much I enjoyed this. Pat McAfee's really, really good at talking. You know, he talks about how Cole is like he's out of date and he can't get it done anymore, and he only needs 2 weeks training to beat Cole, and he's really, really good. I mean, I suppose he should be. You know, he does a podcast and he's done commentary multiple times, so he really should be good at talking. But I was surprised by how believable he was as a dick. Probably because he is a bit of a one, but. This was really, really good, and it's actually made me really look forward to the match.
I still have one issue with this feud, and it is that there is someone that should be instead of Pat. Pat's jumped the line in terms of WWE sort of affiliate workers that should be given opportunities in ring. This should have been Adam Cole versus Sam Roberts.
Oh my god.
And by that I mean I just wanted to see Adam Cole kick the shit out of Sam Roberts for about 50 minutes.
Oh, that would have been so good. Because Sam Roberts was the perennial heel on the pre-show panels and stuff. Yes. I forgot about him.
He's the sort of guy that would have turned up to a high school computing class with his Ryzen 1660 GTX graphics card and being like, I can't use these school computers, they aren't good enough, I need my dual monitor. Yes, I'm Sam Roberts, I'm a podcaster.
I say this, that is basically us right now.
Nah, I didn't take computing at school, I'm not a fucking virgin. The interesting thing here is that it's good to see that it's translated from go-home heat that he always had to just good heat.
Mm.
And I think he's been billed well, and he should still lose unless the Undisputed Era are turning on Adam Cole.
Nah, I don't see that happening.
Which I'm hearing some rumblings of as a rumour. But with the internet and wrestling, you never know.
There as Liam adjusts his headphones.
Yep. It's time for the main event. And, I mean, technically it's not, but it is, because we have one very sexy person, Robert Stone, against four incredibly talented performers, which is odd because this match includes Aaliyah, so that shows how far we've come.
Hang on, Robert Stone's facing Aaliyah, Mercedes, Rhea and Shotzi. I don't remember that match.
Yeah, yeah. It's intergender wrestling.
All right, okay, they finally started doing that.
Yeah, it's a training camp at his new gym. They're all... I'm seeing this photo, right, that they used, and all I can think is, oh, they should all just be his clients.
What, Robert Stone is just a massive army of faceless people. It just...
Well, I actually have when I do my predictions and when it comes to a women's title match,
mm-hmm.
I have a way of tying it into this match, so we'll come back to that. Okay. So it's Aaliyah and Mercedes, Team Robert Stone brand, versus Rhea Ripley and Shotzi Blackheart. Team Vince McMahon probably won't like us. Shotzi comes out with a high-intensity sort of offense onto Aaliyah, while Rhea and sort of Mercedes are doing the sort of like big old, my dad's bigger than your dad, but about themselves. Mm. Eventually, Rhea gets a hot tag. She just squishes Aaliyah. Aaliyah bumps really well. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I've noticed. She is very good at making everyone else look like they could beat the shit out of her. And I like the fact that that's how she's booked.
I've had a realization. Aaliyah is NXT's Dolph Ziggler.
I mean, we don't even need an offensive title now. That'll get clicks. Is it?
She is, though. She sells really well. She only has one good period of time. That's the only two comparisons I can think of. But fuck it, go with it. Me and Liam have our webcams on, and the blank stare of what the fuck was that was hilarious.
Start of the finish comes as Aaliyah takes a riptide, and Martinez goes in to try and make the save, and then Ripley power bombs Robert Stone's meal ticket over the railings onto concrete. Pretty clear, clever use of camera work to crash map, but you know, we ignore that. It wasn't too bad.
It's right.
And lays out Stone's meal ticket. He like leaps over the barrier to make sure she's okay, and she's like, "Get the doctors, get the doctor!" Like, you know, he's very clearly
stuff because the bit I saw, she was just out cold.
He mouths it as he's like,
"Got you." I thought you meant she said it. Got you.
And he's kind of like, "What the fuck are you doing, Rhea? What are you doing? What the fuck?" Like, you know. And then Blackheart hits the diving scent on Aaliyah for the win. I want both of these people both of these teams to have the women's tag title. NXT needs that women's tag title. Like, even for a little period of time, you've got so many duos that could use it.
True.
Like, we've got both of these teams. We've got Raquel and Dakota. You've got the potential to do something with Asuka and Io.
Mm.
You've got the potential down the line to then do Dakota and Tegan again. Mm. You could do, hell, you could do Dakota and Ruby Riott to call back to Team Kick. Slap Happy. Team Slap Happy.
That's it.
You've then got like the likes of Candace and Tegan could do something as well. Mm. We get a promo earlier in this show where Tegan talks about not being concerned with Dakota. She needs to go and try and sort out her friendship with Candace. She didn't realise that her friendship with Candace was such an issue. And we should settle this like we did in the old days while talking over a glass of wine. Haha, women. Tegan Knox should never do a promo in her life ever again.
Aw, that wasn't that bad.
Oh, we've gone from her personality being that she has a sore knee to she drinks wine. God, I've never heard of a woman use that as her personality before.
Oh, fucking hell. It's a good thing Chelsea doesn't listen to this because...
Hell, Chelsea's at least not one of those women who's like, well, get home and have a cheeky glass of wine. Ooh, or maybe two. Fucking Carmella's actual personality. Like, at least Tegan's is a character.
Mm.
You know, she instead prefers dating nonsense. Travis Banks, not a current one.
Yes. Well, you never know. Give it a year or so.
Yeah. What did you think of our women's tag action?
It was fine. I mean, it gets Robert Stone on TV and stuff. It gets Aaliyah and Mercedes. It's still building a little bit to Mercedes and Rhea facing off each other, which I imagine will be probably on TV either post Takeover or in the next couple of weeks following. But this was fine, and I assume like the Mercedes on the concrete thing's meant to take her out for Takeover, but they weren't going to be at Takeover anyway. Some of it,
I think they might do something where like she's trying to fight like because you got room to do backstage stuff at Takeover that will explain the stories to a wider audience to get them to check in.
Yeah,
I think they might do something where like she tries to track down Rhea and she wants to fight. Like, maybe she's got her shoulder bandaged up or whatever, and Robert Stone's not letting her. Because, no, you're injured, you need to heal, you heal, be patient, I'll get you the match, and something like that. Mm. But I thought it was fun. I like the fact that these two stories intertwined, that's good. As for Candace and Tegan, basically, we have a very good set of TV feuds just now that can tie over. Like, we have obviously Mercedes Rhea stuff, we've got the Candace Tegan stuff, like we've got stuff to do, which is good. Phantasma versus Swerve, so it means that you don't have to immediately continue on from the post Takeover stories. You can let them breathe, which I think is important,
and it seems always really good at that.
Stacked and well-balanced divisions.
Before the main event, there is a little video package that they do for Karrion Kross versus Keith Lee that is so, so good. Oh my god. I genuinely say the best video package NXT have ever done. It's insane.
It's very well done. It kind of gets over the threat of Kross, but also the power of what Keith Lee stands for. And it's cut very well. Like, the thing is, you can see from all of Cross's portfolio of work that when it comes to cinematography and, like, acting, he just gets it. Mm-hmm. And the same as Scarlett. And I've been saying that Keith Lee is criminally underrated on the microphone.
Mm.
Like, everyone knows Keith Lee is good in ring, but he talks and I want to listen. Yeah. He has a presence.
He has that endearing sort of promo.
Yeah. He wasn't on the show, which was great. You know, it sells the injuries of the spooky fireball. And we didn't continue with more spooky shit, which is good. We'll talk about predictions after the main event, but I don't think Kross is winning the title. So hopefully they don't do it with spooky shit. That would be nice. But yeah, it was really good, really well shot, very Lucha Underground-esque.
See, I was going to say, it's very similar to OTT's video packages. And I think OTT make the best video packages out there.
Just shame everyone involved in them has been cancelled.
Only like... Oh shit, yeah, actually most of them have. The people who make the videos are still fine, so it's fine.
Maybe, probably not. It's Sean Ryan, right?
Yes, I think he's fine. We'll see.
He's male, probably cancer.
Is that how it works? Because, oh fuck, we're both dead.
To be fair, being cancelled doesn't make a difference. Up next is our main event, the NXT North American Ladder Title Match Qualifier, number 2. Finn Balor, very publicly outspoken in favour of LGBT issues, massive penis, lots of abs, loved by everyone everywhere, renowned nice guy, just did Dan Mathers' podcast, check it out. And he's taking on legit paedophile Velveteen Dream. Not going to say allegedly. Fuck Velveteen Dream, fire Patrick Clark. He's a big noncy prick with a shit beard and stop trying to do NWO gimmicks. It's gotten old. Velveteen Dream does weird mind games, but Finn Balor targets the leg. Dream comes in and fights back. And then the match gets saved because Cameron Grimes comes out just to taunt both men and be a wee dick. Because Cameron Grimes is great.
Can we have this every week? When Cameron Grimes wins the North American title, because he's going to win the North American title, I want him every week on a ladder just laughing at matches. Because that would be great.
Dream loses his focus for a bit, but Grimes distracts Balor. Prince tries to make his comeback. Johnny Gargano comes out and tips Grimes off the ladder, causing the referee to go down. Balor and Dream take out Grimes. Bronson Reed and Damian Priestley at Gargano. Damian Priest lays out Bronson Reed. Timothy Thatcher somehow gets involved and attacks Balor, letting Dream hit the DVD and the Purple Rainmaker for the win. Afterwards, Bronson Reed takes out everyone and poses with the title, which tells us two things. Bronson Reed is not winning.
Yes.
And WWE don't care if you're a paedophile.
What
is it that Triple H has said? We've looked into this. No one has approached us about this. We have approached the appropriate parties and nothing has been said. So basically, no one's taken him to court, so it's not true. I don't know. I think we've talked about this before. This could have been Devlin Balor, right? Mm-hmm. And I probably could have zoned out of the Devlin allocations. I think it's because he touches kids in us. It feels like it's just, and you know what, it's the heel, because his heel persona is quite crazy in the beard and the hair. Doesn't help. And it just made me zone out. And also, Finn Balor's shit now.
The problem is Finn Balor has won legitimately zero important matches since coming back to NXT. I'm going to double check to be sure.
He beat Damian Priest at TakeOver,
that
right?
Was it. Yes, he did.
To be fair, that was the most recent TakeOver. But so we've had confirmed we're getting him versus Timothy Thatcher at TakeOver, which should be really good. There is a massive issue with that match. Neither man can lose.
Yeah, I was going to say this when we get into the predictions, but it's kind of a lose-lose situation for both of them. So,
losing to Finn Balor no longer feels like a... Or sorry, beating Finn Balor no longer feels like a big deal. Mm-hmm. And Timothy Thatcher shouldn't lose again this early on.
And also, he's to be treated serious. Both of his matches now, so... In fact, he's won one and lost one, but still. So, it doesn't really give Finn much credibility, but...
I'm sure it'll be a really good match, but I feel like if we just didn't have the paedophile and we didn't have the weird triple threat tag match with a tag team of 1-2 that nobody cares about, we could have just done Breezango versus Imperium versus LDF just straight away. Then we could have put... Balor into the ladder match, and then we could have done Oney Lorcan versus Timothy Thatcher in like a 15-minute submission Iron Man match.
Yeah.
Which would have made sense from a story-wise, would have been good to get Oney Lorcan a bit of TV time. And instead,
the biggest name in the North American ladder match that's there to draw eyes to new talent. Basically, ironically, given his love for them, the Velveteen Dream is distracting and taking away from the youth of NXT. And I'm concerned that he'll win.
I don't think he will.
He's not my prediction.
No.
But
there's a chance.
There is a chance that they just put the belt on a pedo.
I don't think they will, especially considering the controversies around him. But there is a chance.
Honestly, just from a company point of view, it's you just suspend pedos.
Yeah.
Even if it's just alleged.
This is what makes me think, surely they have looked into this, and surely they've looked into this far enough that they've gone... They couldn't have put him back on TV if they legitimately thought that he was doing this stuff. No way.
Yeah, they have Matt Riddle in the world in the IC.
See, that's different. I think, like, sexual assault cases are different because they have a different history with that. Where usually they do a whole wait and see if it's gonna PR backfires. Whereas paedophilia, I feel like is different. There's not been many cases, but every case.
I was gonna say, when was the last case like a nonce?
I'm gonna check. I don't think there's been many.
Macho Man?
Maybe, but even then, that
Hall of Famer Macho Man.
I've brought up incognito mode to put in the Google search WWE pedophiles. Let's see where this takes us.
I just went for WWE pedo.
Let's see.
Isn't Jerry Lawler one or something?
He just likes young people, but I don't think he's ever touched kids.
He just likes young women.
Lawler's always been fucking stereo. I don't think there has been. Like, I feel like, even despite the fact there's no actual history for it, as far as we can tell, I feel like, considering WWE is, like, a PG company, in quotes, like, surely they can't have, like, in good faith, not looked into this and confirmed whether or not he has or has not before bringing them back to TV. I don't see how they could have done that.
Oh, Ellsworth, of course.
Oh, yeah, but that was after he left WWE.
Yeah, so it was.
So, it's a weird situation, but there's stuff behind it that we probably will never find out, but it's a weird situation.
Hello, Matt here. Got my predictions here for NXT TakeOver 30. Have to be honest, I've got a little bit fed up with wrestling in the current situation, with no fans and things, so I actually haven't... I'm not as massively up to date on the card. But I have got some thoughts. Opening match, we have the Fatal 5-Way ladder match for the NXT North American Championship. Really glad that Bronson Reed's in there. I think he's doing a really good job, and I think he looks brilliant as a wrestler. But I really want Cameron Grimes to win it. I think his character's great and massively entertaining. And arguably, there's one person in there that absolutely should not be in there in the first place. Second match of the card, which means it's obviously a women's match, Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai. I'm not massively over on Dakota Kai. I think she's okay, but I'm not on the hype train for it. And Io Shirai is absolutely amazing, so if she doesn't win it, I will cry. Match number three, Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee. Why? This is just feels like a massive waste of talent for Adam Cole, unfortunately. I liked Pat McAfee on commentary. How he's going to work in the ring on a big event like this? Nah, I'm not bothered. Finally, we get to the main event for the NXT Championship. I know there's someone on the Development Podcast who is a massive, massive fan of Karrion Kross. And fair play, his entrance with Scarlett is absolutely brilliant. And he is a great wrestler. But on a practical level, Keith Lee's only just become NXT Champion, so he ain't losing. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at RingMattBell. I think I'm the same for Instagram as well. I'm not a bad follow. I don't bother you too much. Cool. Take care.
Jason.
Well, let's talk about TakeOver 30 and not about paedophiles. We will take it because we have to. Now, we will take it from least likely to main event to most likely to main event. So we'll open things up with a tag match. Right. Our pre-show match, Breezango versus the 1-2 versus Legado del Fantasma. I've got Fantasma, Legado del Fantasma, because I think they'll do a big faction with the belts, but like lower down belts, so it's not very Undisputed Era. It's not going to be the 1-2. And Breezango have already had a title match recently, and I still stand by that they're breaking up. Who have you got?
As much as Breezango would make more sense with the face heel dynamic, I've also got Del Fantasma, because I think as much as it would lead to heel versus heel for Imperium, Imperium need to get those titles off them because they are so massively hurt by the lack of Walter and Wolf.
They're also just not on the show week to week.
Yeah.
So it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. Like, since winning the titles, I'm fairly sure they have legitimately appeared twice.
Yeah, just to defend them, that's it.
Yeah.
We have Finn Balor versus Timothy Thatcher, a match where no man can win and no man can lose. Neither one can live while the other survives. I have Finn Balor.
Oh, interesting. I have Thatcher. I think out of both of them who need a win, Thatcher needs the credibility more. And Finn, whilst he's recently been shit, you can at least build off the credibility of Thatcher's defeated the second longest reigning NXT champion ever. So I feel like they can at least build off that. Whereas if Finn Balor beats Timothy Thatcher, it goes, oh, he's beat the guy who lost to Matt Riddle and won one match?
It's 1-2. 3. And Matt Riddle, so 4.
Fair.
I think Finn wins, but it's something similar to Damian Priest, where Thatcher just gets credibility in the process by taking it so long.
Yeah, fair.
Because I don't think they're going to do anything immediately with him.
No.
Although, with my prediction for who wins that North American title later, I feel like you could do some fun stuff.
Okay.
Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee.
I'm going to let you go first.
I've got Pat, because I think the Undisputed Era turn heel.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, if you picked Cole, I was going to go Pat, but nah, I'm going Cole.
I see, it's a hard one. You can't have the longest reigning NXT champion of all time lose to him clean,
no,
right?
No, that's never going to happen.
But we need to, if they're not getting called up after SummerSlam, which they might, you need to do something interesting on Undisputed Era. And I think I would much like to see Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly one-on-one.
So the only thing that makes me think that won't happen is because the last couple of weeks they had the whole therapy thing, and they've kept them as a like cohesive unit, and they've focused on that the last couple of weeks. So I think doing a heel turn out of nowhere, there's not been any hints or signs of it, so I think that would be a little jaunting and weird to do that.
I have a second heel turn later on, which I think is actually likely to happen.
Mm.
Like, if I was putting money on it, my money's on Adam Cole, obviously. Yeah. But TakeOver 30, I feel like, needs to have seismic events happening.
Yep.
And Undisputed Era breaking up would be one of them. Okay, let's go with the ladder match for the vacant North American Championship. I have Cameron Grimes.
I also have Cameron Grimes. He has just been so, so good the last couple of months. And out of everyone in this match, he's the one I've been the most interested in.
So, I think it's between him and Bronson Reed.
Okay.
I think the two of them personify most what Keith Lee wanted from the tournament.
Mm.
And I think they will, stick to what the whole point of it was.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to put on a pedo. I think they're smarter than that. Just. I think as much as Johnny kind of needs to start getting some wins soon, I don't think having him with a title for a second time's... Unless they do an open challenge with... Johnny doing an open challenge with a title as like a cocky heel to counter Cody's open challenge could be interesting.
True.
But
it
doesn't feel fresh.
Going, oh, they've just stole it off AEW.
Yeah, and then you just respond, exactly. John Cena, motherfucker. Damian Priest is just... No.
I think Damian Priest would be okay.
He isn't the finished product, which Cameron Grimes isn't.
He is,
but Cameron Grimes is a hell of a lot closer.
Priest is a shit promo. Well, apart from that one feud in Grimes, but apart from that.
Yeah. Bronson Reed, it's a bit too fast, but it would be interesting.
True.
But Cameron Grimes as a shitbag heel with the title, but a different type of shitbag heel. Like, Adam Cole was a shitbag heel who used his numbers advantage to dominate.
Yeah, but he could still legitimately wrestle and go.
Yeah, I don't want... I just want Cameron Grimes to shite bag his way around and hit the cave in.
Yep.
Preferably against Finn Balor. That would be fun.
Do like comedy skits with Regal again. The one from like, yes. I think it's a month ago or something now.
He hands him like doctor's notes and shit like that. Like,
just do funny shit.
I can't wrestle, I forgot my gear and stuff like that.
Because it's not done like a non-serious North American champion yet, have they?
Yeah. And you're allowed to have champions that when their heels are shitebags. Yeah. Like a lot of time people are out, he has a title. He shouldn't be prestigious. That's, you're allowed to do
NXT
that.
NXT suits his character that often, and that's the thing that makes it better. When NXT does do main roster ish stuff, it often does it better because it's rarer.
And I'd like to see him do stuff like change the belt strap to a crocodile skin because he's country.
Oh my God.
Have him like sat polishing his belt and shit like that. Okay, what have we got? We just got the two matches left. So Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai with Raquel Gonzalez. I have Dakota Kai.
Really? Interesting.
For one very specific reason, gotcha. But I'll let you say yours. Why?
I have Io because I don't think, as much as I agree with your whole they need to do seismic stuff, I don't think they are going to go for any sort of angles. I think Dakota is going to try and use the numbers advantage with Raquel. It's going to fall through somehow, and Io is going to beat it. I don't think Dakota's the right person to beat Io. Not yet, anyway.
I think I want to draw back to the line about Dakota saying, you're too focused on my past, I'm focused on my future. I think this is about Dakota's past.
Okay.
And I think Raquel will get ejected from ringside for getting involved too much. Okay. Io will have the advantage. She'll go for the moonsault. Dakota will move. The ref will get hit.
Mm.
And Tegan Knox will hit Io Shirai with the knee brace.
No!
Helping,
really,
Dakota Kai in the process win the title, and Dakota Kai, Tegan Knox, and Raquel Gonzalez will be a heel faction, or like heel group that basically dominate the women's scene with the title. And the reason that Tegan will quote is, she's tired of everyone turning on her. For once, it's time that she took control. And then you can tie this back to she had the wine with Candace and Candace convinced her, and that gives Candace some credibility. Also gives Tegan Knox a character.
Mm.
You know, it's Sami Zayn turning and joining Kevin Owens. You know, it's joining the dark side.
Yeah.
And I think it takes the belt off of Io and stops us having just another champion that goes too long.
Yeah.
And I also think you need an actual title change on this show. And as much as I really want it, as much as I really, really want it, I think Keith Lee's retaining.
As do I, unfortunately. As much as I think Cross should win, I don't think
it's happening. The positive thinking part of my brain goes, Cross wins, big seismic change, there's your big thing. NXT is now under the Killer Cross, the Karrion Kross regime. Everyone is being put on notice, and on SummerSlam we get something big like Drew retaining, posing with the title, bask in his glory.
Oh, right, yeah. I thought you meant Cross
down
for a second.
Big moment. No, but I think Cross loses because of two words.
Okay.
Tommaso Ciampa.
No, please, no. No.
The last time we saw Tommaso Ciampa was him leaving NXT, getting interviewed, and him saying he has to have a long, hard think about the fact that he just got dominated by Cross. We haven't seen him since. Mm-hmm. Yes, he could be turning up in Retribution,
which I think is the more likely option.
But I could also just see him coming out and costing Cross.
Oh, I hope not.
Which keeps the belt on Keith. However, if you do that, who the fuck is next in line? What a triple threat. And then like Cross should win by non-spooky shit. You could do a little bit like cool stuff with it, but no more fireballs. There should be blood. And Mia Yim should get hurt.
Oh yeah, Mia, I forgot. Yeah, she could probably run in, actually. I forgot about her.
Mm-hmm. But Scarlet is a witch would be really cool. Scarlet Witch.
Oh, you know what they'll do? They'll bring in Mia to take out Scarlet, and then it'll just be Keith Lee and Cross.
See, I think they will try to do that, and Scarlet will teleport or something weird. I am okay with the dynamic being Killer Cross is a normal fucking Mil Muertes type guy, and Scarlet can be a bit supernatural.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that because it doesn't change Cross too much. But also, I think we leave 30 in the new era of NXT, and the new era of NXT is Karrion Kross, Cameron Grimes, and Dakota Kai.
Fair.
Heel, 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 and Imperium also have belts.
Yeah.
What match are you most excited about?
Because
I feel like it's a takeover that on paper doesn't look like there's an instant classic waiting there.
I don't know. I think there is. I think the ladder match is. I think the ladder match has a very good potential to replicate the original North American title ladder match with the people they've got in it. But for me, it's between Cole, the ladder match, and Keith Lee Karrion for most excited. I can't decide. All three of them I'm pretty excited for. The rest of the card's kind of eh, but those three in particular I'm excited for.
So that ladder match had Adam Cole, Ricochet, Velveteen Dream, who can all do a lot of strong aerial things. Yep. You had Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan as your big bases. Mm-hmm. And then you had EC3 there as sort of the hybrid.
Yep.
And I think that's what made that match work so well, is that, one, it got half an hour.
True.
But two, you've got people there that can do the sort of show-stealing stuff.
Yep. You have that in this match as well.
You've got Gargano, and I suppose Dream is in it again.
Grimes, I would say, is the hybrid. Priest can do a Priest and Grimes are both hybrids, and then Reed's there as your big strong base.
But well, Reed's meant to be a bit high fly as well.
True, this is true.
It depends how they construct the match. They need to construct it well. I think in terms of pure wrestling ability, Io Shirai, Dakota Kai could be match of the night depending on time, and I think it will get given time, especially if they do the big Tegan heel turn. Mm. I'm obviously very excited for the potential of Karrion Kross, Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also just nervous.
Yeah.
But I'm nervous that he won't win because I want him to win, which means that they have got me invested, which is good. Yeah. I am also just worried that it goes cinematic.
I don't think it will. That is a point. There is no cinematic match on this card.
Of all the wrestlers to be cinematic... Yeah. Cross is like, yeah.
But they have to manage the very fine line between hokey cinematic and good cinematic, which most of the time...
And also there's not been a good NXT cinematic.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. NXT has been shit at doing cinematic matches the last two times they've done it, so I'm slightly concerned.
I do think we will get a big announcement at 30.
All right, okay.
Because they want to... But I don't know what.
Mm.
If I had to... make a prediction on that. I mean, it technically saying that there will be one as a prediction. I think something during Cole McAfee will happen, and we will start building to Cole's last NXT match at the next takeover, which will be Adam Cole versus Triple H.
Oh, Christ. I think they will do that
Mania weekend.
Right. I don't think they'd do that without a crowd, which is fair if they do it to Mania weekend. That's fair. They won't.
I think we do it as a slow build. I am adamant Triple H will have an NXT takeover match as his last match, and he will put over someone because he's Triple H and he actually puts over a lot of people.
The only other thing I was just thinking about there when you mentioned that for like big announcements.
Tessa?
No, if they could, they could maybe have Retribution debut on NXT TakeOver instead and then like reference it in SummerSlam.
Nah, that feels like your big SummerSlam moment because you got to have a big SummerSlam moment.
I suppose, and they haven't been doing anything in NXT.
There's literally nothing because like SummerSlam, you know, you've got Taker, and things like that. But Retribution feels like that big moment.
Fair.
Just not there. If Io retains, you could have Tessa debut.
Oh, Tessa. They could.
Tessa assaults Io Shirai from behind after the match.
I don't think they will, but that would be lovely.
Side-to-side sway. Or she's in Retribution.
Oh, please no. Please no. Oh, God. That's the thing with this weekend. SummerSlam and TakeOver, both of them have a lot of possibilities that we're not really sure where it's going to go, which is good.
Yeah.
But also terrifying.
What we haven't mentioned is that this TakeOver, to start with, will be going head-to-head with
AEW from now on, yes.
So they're going to put a big match on early.
I'm going to check. I've seen one match AEW is doing. I think it's an eight-man tag. I think it's Dustin and QT Marshall and Jurassic Express versus Lucha Brothers and somebody.
sorry. Do you want to try that? I've got the cage match up here. Give me a sec. 22nd of the... All Out's very soon.
Yeah, All Out's in 2 weeks as well.
The 22nd of the 8th, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. There are several matches.
Ooh,
okay. The EW TNT title is up for grabs as Cody takes on Mr. Brody Lee.
Oh, that'd be quite good.
We have got the final of the AEW's Women Tag Team Cup. Don't worry, the women will finally get over 10 minutes because Ali and Brandy take on Diamante and Ivelisse.
Diamante and Ivelisse will probably win. No,
Brandy Rhodes.
Yeah, true. Actually, they'll be doing
the Dark Order take on the Elite.
Fine.
Darby Allin versus ?
Don't know.
The Butcher and the Blade and the Lucha Brothers versus the Jurassic Express and the Natural Nightmares. The Revival versus FTR, bro, versus Private Party.
That should be quite fun, to be fair.
I hope NXT gets the viewers in.
They will. It's a takeover versus a normal episode of Dynamite. There's no way Dynamite beats them. I mean, to be fair, we won't even see anyway because we won't see TakeOver's ratings because it's not on TV.
Well, we'll see W's and it'll be like, 500,000 people watched that instead of...
in comparison. That's true.
But the thing is, you can simulcast because it's on the network and the TV.
True.
That's everything. Throughout the show, as you notice, we have had intercuts from several guest contributors, so thank you to each of those. Just reached out to the mass of them, thought we'd make it a little bit special. We did it a while ago and it went down well, so do it again. We are getting played out by the if you hit me at 50 miles an hour and all of that, so enjoy that. Other than that, Innes, is there anything you'd like to add? If not, just plug your socials.
I'm just really looking forward to this weekend. As I said before, there's a bunch of possibilities with both SummerSlam and TakeOver that I think they go loads of different directions with, and I'm curious to see what happens more than anything else. That's the best thing, when you don't know what's going to happen in wrestling. That's when wrestling's at its best. But if you want to find more of my shit opinions, then you can follow me on Twitter.
Shadow or Ennis.
Don't Google that. That's a terrible old account. Don't Google that. You can follow me on Twitter at Ennis_McVey, INNES_MCVEY. I don't actually really use Twitter that much anymore, but you know, it's more of a novelty then when I do tweet, so it'll feel like a big event and stuff. Ooh.
You can follow me on Twitter at Liam A. Stewart. You can follow me on Instagram at Liam ALX Stewart. My Twitter just now is mainly me talking about old school TNA, me talking about football, and me talking about stocks. I'm really interested in, I promise. If you would like to follow the brand, it is, as always, at Develop Podcast.
I would like to point out, we have gone through this entire podcast without you plugging Retrona once. I'm very proud.
Retrona. Do you mean the weekly the weekly retro NXT show where we sequentially study the rise and fall of TNA Impact on Spike TV?
Yes, he fucked it.
The weekly TNA show where we review. Where we sequentially study the rise and fall of TNA Impact on Spike TV, taking them from late 2005 to late 2015 as we try and pinpoint the exact moment it all went wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Innes, you'll be doing that for the next few weeks while Michael is recovering from chlamydia.
Against my will, but yes.
Gonorrhea. So you'll get to watch some old school TNA. Other than that, this has been the Developmental Podcast. I've been Liam Stewart. He's been Innes McVey. Thank you to all our guest contributors. And as always, Please remember,
if you hit me at 40 miles an hour, there's around an 80% chance I'll die. Hit me at 30 and there's around an 80% chance I'll live.